I'm sharing on seven things that believers don't do, or that believers do. Dead, D-A-D. You can either be alive or dead. In this world, you can either be alive spiritually or dead spiritually. And in the time we are living, there are so many dead believers. So many dead believers. I was driving by, I saw a huge tree. You see how it has leaves. But the roots were all dead. And a little wind pushed that big tree down because it was dead inside. So the question today is, are you alive or are you dead? How do you know a living Christian? How do you know a spiritually dead person? Jude chapter 1 verse 12 and 13. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water. Imagine clouds without rain. Carry about of winds. Trees whose leaves wither. Without fruit. Twice dead. But I like the word twice dead. This is Jude. This Jude there with it. Jude was a brother of Jesus Christ in the flesh, okay? Twice dead, plucked out by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So there are those who are dead spiritually. You can get a spiritual lineage. My father is Archbishop. I was born in a religious family. I was born in Catholic. I went to government Catholic school. Okay, whatever it is. But that doesn't make you spiritual. Are you alive or dead? Are you alive or dead? Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 17. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of all creation, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich. You look like American, no so. Thou sayest, I am rich, and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So man can be working hard, getting hours, but dead, naked, wretched before God. The worst thing to do is to be poor spiritually, to die spiritually. It's so painful. You can be an engineer, you can be an IT specialist, you can be a doctor, but dead spiritually. You can be bishop, dead spiritually. You can be whatever name the world can call your name, but you are dead spiritually. You are sick. I can't forget when I was a young Christian, my brother was working in a big company in Africa, and a time for professor. The general manager was very wealthy. Married man. Driving a big Pajero in those days. I was walking by the street and I saw a class 7 primary school girl butting this man on the street. Say, you deceive who? I couldn't believe. Can you just imagine, okay, a man of about like 45 in those days, married, going out with a primary school, elementary school girl, and the girl met him on the street, lean on the car, he bought it, the man. Who did you deceive? He was a Christian. Dead. I don't know. We live in a world with so many dead Christians. The world can call you child of God, but God knows you are dead. Your file is closed in heaven. You used to be a Christian. You used to be born again. You used to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But something happened that your file is closed. Dead. Used to be faithful, used to be holy, used to be prayerful, used to be obedient, but something happened that your file is closed, it's now written there, dead need a resurrection, need a second touch. So James called them twice dead, and the Holy Ghost said to them, they are neither hot nor cold. How do you know a dead believer? Number one, they don't evangelize. It is impossible for a dead Christian to evangelize. What will you say? What will you say? Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But how can you preach if you are dead? That is why many believers don't share the gospel. Because see, after it's evangelism, it's evangelism is sharing a testimony of salvation with someone. So evangelism is sharing your testimony of salvation with somebody. So how can you share a testimony of salvation if you are dead? That is why many Christians have sealed their mouth in their job site. They have sealed their mind in their neighborhood. They don't evangelize anymore. They don't preach anymore because they are dead spiritually. So when a man is alive, there is no way you can stop preaching. See, neighbor, are you still preaching? Find out. Are you still evangelizing? When last did you lead somebody to Christ? When last did you pray with somebody? I said, let's pray, and you confess your sin. When last? Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, say word, of their confession, word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Yeah, we overcome by the word of our testimony. Those who are spiritually dead cannot evangelize. Yeah. Those who are alive in Christ cannot stop preaching. Those who are alive in Christ cannot stop preaching. There's no way I can stop preaching. Those who are alive in Christ cannot stop preaching. There is no way a true believer that is alive in Christ can close his mouth. No way. You know the boldness it takes to see a woman, say woman, say woman, write a signboard, I stand for abortion at the march in the street. Abortion right. You know the boldness that takes to do that as a woman. And they're not ashamed. You see a woman maybe have one or two children. You see go on the street saying what? Hey, there must be a freedom to abort my children as long as I want. They are too bold to do that. Why believers are too shy to preach? Because they are dead. If you cannot stand for your right and proclaim it, you are dead. You might think that you are still born again, but born again begins to go into the well and preach. So if you cannot preach to a friend, tell a friend, come, let's go to church, evangelize to somebody, your spiritual life is going down, 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 down. The evidence of a live Christian is sharing your testimony. Say after me, the evidence of a live Christian is sharing your testimony. So if you cannot share a testimony, it's the first sign you are dead. For 1 month, 1 year, you cannot share a testimony. You cannot say, hey, friend on the phone, hello, Jesus loves you, repent of your sin, Christ is coming soon, my life is transformed, you are not passionate for the gospel, your life is dead. You need a resurrection. Because Jeremiah said, I tried to close my mouth, but it looked like there is fire within me. I tried to close my mouth. I said, I will not prophesy because of the persecution, but there was the way I tried to close my mouth, the way there was fire within me. There is no way a truly born-again child of God will stop preaching. Impossible. So if you cannot preach, it's the first time that your spiritual life is dying. You can talk about other things, job, IT, business, school, they cannot preach. It's a sign you are dead. Number two, please. Number two sign for those who are dead spiritually. They don't read the Bible on daily basis. They don't read their Bibles on daily basis. Okay. The cancel sometimes is not a commitment. Now listen, 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Till I come, pay attention. Yes, commit yourself to reading. Hallelujah, Lord. Till I come. Yes, till I come, pay attention to reading. There is no way, say that, but
there is no way.
You can know more of Christ with less of the world. It doesn't work that way. One of the signs of poverty is lack of reading. Poor people don't read. You hear me? Say poor minds. Don't learn anymore. And they are stuck there. You want to move from one level to another level, you take reading. In all fields. If you're a doctor, you don't want to read again. One girl, my daughter Kabarone, we were working like a lab technician in a clinic. With a master's degree in lab technology or something, lab technician from Nigeria. Master's degree. He came here, went to a lab. He didn't even know the names of the students in the place. He entered a lab, he didn't even know the name of the, how do you call it, various equipment. He was outdated. He was outdated. She wasn't current in the field. With a big significant master degree in this. Sorry?
Did she really go out of public?
No, she went to school.
She had a job when she was supposed to. So she wasn't training.
So there was no more update. She wasn't being updated in not new technology. So, yeah. She wasn't correct. Yeah, hallelujah, Lord. Now, Psalm 119, please. Verse 103 to 105. How do you know a dead Christian? Number one, they cannot evangelize. Number two, they don't read the Bibles on daily basis. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto me? Wow. How sweet are thy words unto my taste? Yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wait, try. Yes. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, for a living child of God now to come to a point where you don't have interest in the Bible anymore, you are dying. You are too busy to get meditation, you are too busy for devotion, too busy to spend an hour in prayer, too busy to read the Bible, you are dying. You are dead. Too busy. Yeah. If you are too busy to be born again, serve the Lord, you are dying, child of God. You are dying. I met this young girl, she was on fire in Africa. I met her in US with a baby. How did this happen? I know you. You were intercessor. You were in my team. Fire for God. How did this happen? So Bishop, American life. American life because of pregnancy. Because of dead Christianity. You start backsliding gradually. Start compromising with people around. Start fooling yourself around. And you want a church that cannot preach anything serious except prosperity maybe. And then you live the way you want. You are now pregnant without marriage because man says, I will marry you. It's a mistake to go to bed with a man who promised to marry you, without marrying you, before marrying you. Tenable? It's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
To allow a cook to steal you. You say, I will marry you. Let's go to bed. I go to bed. I say, I will. Just keep, I will. It's a big mistake. Don't make that mistake. You touch, you pay. Before you touch, pass my parents, give the price.
Before you touch, pay.
Amen. I want to touch me, you go see my father in the Lord, pay the price.
Amen.
Come on, pray. Your word! How sweet are thy words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than the honeycomb to my mouth. Yes, Lord. And through thy precepts I get understanding. Through your word I get understanding. So those who are dead spiritually, they don't read the Bible consistently. Blessed is he that readeth. Can we just say that, everybody?
Blessed is he
that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed are those who read. There's a blessing already attached to you. As you sit down, your Bible, you are blessed already. Amen. As you sit down with your Bible, you are blessed already. Sincerely, I read my Bible crazy, you know.
Yes.
From April to now, I've read the whole New Testament, Genesis to 2 Samuel, in 3 months. Okay. Very important. That is my portion. I need to know the Bible. So I read it more, so I can know more. Amen. The next 10 years, I read my Bible about 30 times in 10 years. It's a must. It's very important. Okay, the third thing, how do you know a dead believer? They don't quote scriptures. They don't quote scriptures. They don't have the scriptures in their heart and they cannot confess it. You don't have scriptures in your heart. You don't quote scriptures. You can talk about, oh, a movie, oh, this thing there, oh, pastor said this, prophet prophesied this to me. You don't quote scriptures because you don't know scriptures.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You cannot quote what you don't know. You need to know the scriptures to be able to quote scriptures.
Absolutely.
So those who are dead cannot quote scriptures. You see, Matthew 4, verse 4 and 7. Then he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus quotes scriptures. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. One go. The word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. One more time. The word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The word is near unto you, the word in your mouth, the word in your heart. Say, the word in my mouth, and the word in my heart. So speak the word. Yes, speak the word. Say the word, speak the word. God say the word, speak the word. In season, out of season. Quote the scriptures to yourself. Get in the morning and speak the word to your atmosphere. Speak the word, confess the word, declare the word. The greatest warfare is quoting scriptures. Yes. Okay. The greatest way to fight warfare is to do what? To just quote the scriptures. Say, it is written. Yes. So get a Bible verse and declare to yourself. But now, those who are dead spiritually, they cannot quote scriptures. No way. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his word and touched my mouth. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What did the Lord say?
I have put my words in your mouth.
Hey, Mrs. Jeanine. The Lord said, Lord, I have put my words in your mouth. Declare. Speak it to your children. Declare the word. I have put my words in your mouth. Just speak the word. Hallelujah, Lord. Number four, the fourth sign of a dead believer, they are not grieved when they miss fellowship. Okay? They are not grieved when they miss fellowship. It doesn't mean anything to them. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For me, by the grace of God, I never fly on Sundays. Never. I cannot remember the day I would have been in the air on Sunday morning. Never. I don't live. I cannot even go to Cameroon. I leave there Saturday, reach there Sunday afternoon. I never fly on Sunday. Sunday is the day I go to church. I cannot willingly program something else on Sunday morning. No matter the profit. You know why? Sin above, God honors those that honor Him. One more time, God honors. You cannot despise God and you want God to bless and bless and bless and bless. When you give God His place, He will put you in the right place. So if you just despise God, you despise the things concerning God, you take it as if pastors are beggars. No, I've never been a beggar all my life. I'm a blesser. For me, from the age of 18, I was pastoring some chiefs in my church, young boy, you know. Young boy all my life. And I've been a so pastor, not some beggars. We are blessers. We are here to bless you. Amen. To release grace in your life. Amen. Yesterday, a woman in Germany who signed for the crusade, that she got COVID and she had been feeling pain in her chest for long. I mean, she got COVID twice. Can you imagine this vaccine nonsense? She got all the vaccine and all the boosters, got COVID twice. Okay. Yeah. Twice. And she was going through pain in her chest. She signed in the conference in the Zoom yesterday. And then she texted me after that, said, Bishop, I am healed. The pain is gone.
Amen.
Amen. The pain is gone. So, when you despise the house of God, they are doing the worst thing for you and your generation. Psalms 137:5-6. Psalm 137:5-6. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem. Psalm 137:5-6, please. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above all chief joy. There is no place like Jerusalem. See, after we say, there is no place like Jerusalem. There is no place like being in the presence of God. There is no place like being in the house of God. You can build big mansion with everything there. You can get a wretched house, church. I went to preach somewhere in Manfred. Their church benches were in their bamboo. You know? Yeah. It came a cheese, something like that. You know? In their bamboo. With that little house, I've changed people and raised pastors. That little house. Pastors came from that little madhouse that are preaching around the nation. It's not about a big structure. You can stay in a big mansion. The house of God is holy. It's set aside. And if you despise God's presence, you despise coming to the house of God, you are dying premature. In His presence is fullness of joy. There is life in His presence. There is strength in His presence. There is peace in His presence. There is the Holy Ghost in His presence. Every good thing happened because of what? You are just opening yourself. You forget about all your worries. Amen. Let me give you a testimony. My elder sister, the mother of the king, and then Tabernacle, most of you know Tabernacle around the world. My elder sister. She was in the apostolic church in those days in Cameroon. And she got cancer of the stomach. And the stomach became very big, like 9 months pregnancy. Huge. She thought she was pregnant. The doctor said, sorry, it's cancerous, it's cancer. And he said, if we operate on you, you're going to die. She could not even put a knife there to open it, she was going to die. You know what she did? She went to Apostolic Church in Muyuka, and got a map and put it on the pulpit. 7 days fasting. Said, Lord Jesus, doctor says I'm going to die. Will you operate me? Okay. 7 days, lying there, only take water. Lord Jesus, you do me this surgery. On the 7th day, I got a call. We went there. That she was praying in the night. And she got like a vision, like a dark cloth was covering her. She started pulling that cloth. She said, in Jesus' name. And I don't get like a push. My God. The cancer came out with lumps, like lumps of meat. Everything came out. Lumps of meat, a full bucket of blood. And that was her deliverance. Yes. After that, she gave birth to 2 children. Amen. Amen. There is nothing like God's presence. See, the best place to be is the presence of God. Now listen, put that light on behind the place. Put a light on there, Mr. Pastor. Put a light on. Amen. Off. Just imagine, okay? You alone. Just you alone. You come and kneel down here. Just you alone. I do that. I come here almost every week. Just come and be here alone. Lord Jesus, show me your glory. Lord, answer me. Lord, honor me. Lord, break this thing. Lord, open this door for me. Lord, I surrender. I bring my life to you, O God. I mean, you spend time here alone for 1 hour, God must speak to you. Yeah, he will speak to you. He will do something in your life that you cannot believe. He will speak to you. You know why many of you said that person are going through a lot of stress? Say stress. The absence of God's presence. Say peace. The presence of God's presence. Stress is when man is in control. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can handle this. This is too much. I cannot handle this. You are now worried also. When God says, I'm in control, stress goes out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know that today, Ms. Ajang preached here. This schedule has been drawn for more than since the month of February. And she scheduled to preach here today, 10 minutes. Since February this year. And her job schedule changed. She's able to fly to Maryland and to be in church today to fulfill that program.
Amen.
It was divinely planned long time ago.
Amen.
God is not a man to take away the stress. How do you deal with stress? Just be in his presence. And for me, I have one thing that I do. I spend time praying. You know, I think there's another day, the voice of the house, you hear me. I read my Bible every morning, at least 10 chapters. At least 10 chapters, and I spend at least 1 hour aloud. I don't just pray silent prayer. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, I pray, I move around. My house is a prayer room, it's a warrior house. Amen.
Amen.
While you are sleeping, the devil is very busy. The devil is very busy in these last days. It's time for believers to arise. Arise and be on fire. All the youths, arise, be on fire. Say, devil, Fight for your destiny. Look at somebody. Say, neighbor, fight for your destiny.
Fight for your destiny.
You're not sure. Can I get some? Look, put some impetus. Say, fight for your destiny.
Fight for your destiny.
Fight for God's kingdom.
Fight for God's kingdom.
Press on. Where are the Joshuas of this generation? Where are the Naomis and the Miriams?
Where are the Joshuas?
Where are the Esthers again? Fight for this destiny. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
My five place, we have two more to go in 10 minutes. Amen. Dead believers, number 5, dead believers are unfaithful financially. They are what?
Unfaithful.
Can I see the hands of wife? Wives, don't say wives here. Even if you have a dead husband believer, he's unfaithful financially. Yeah,
danger.
The finance, don't touch that area.
Don't go there.
You have a faithful wife. Finance, you will divorce, you better be silent or your mother will get kaput. You know kaput? It's in German language. Yes. So they don't tithe. Yeah, they are unfaithful financially and they don't tithe. That's a sign you are dying. They don't tithe. They can argue about everything. They don't tithe. I mean, they are dead. Now, listen, please. Listen. This is. Take a paper and pen. Please write this down. I follow us all. Adam and Eve ate their tithe. And God got them out of the garden. True or false?
True.
They ate their tithe. What is tithe? The law of the first fruit. What is tithe? The law of the first fruit. Law of first things. This belongs to God. Adam and Eve ate their tithe. This one belonged to God. They took a bite. Cain and Abel gave their first fruits to God. The word first fruit there is the portion. Now, listen carefully. So God accepted the tithe of Abel, rejected the tithe of Cain. Because he ate part of his tithe. I'll show you the Bible. I said, Cain and Abel gave their tithe to God. God accepted the tithe of Abel, rejected the tithe of Cain. Why? He ate part of his tithe. Turn to Genesis 4, verse 6 and 7. Yeah. Genesis 4, 6 and 7. God respected the tithe of, because they learned this from Abraham, I mean from Adam and Eve. Genesis 4, 6 and 7. Are you there?
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Cain, are you there? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? Hey. Something was wrong with his offering. What it brought. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at thy door. Now listen, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Amen. While Abel brought the firstlings of his cattle and gave a complete portion to God, Cain harvested his fruit and ate some. It should be first fruit. The first harvest belonged to God. So first harvest. Belong to God.
Yes.
You don't eat part and never give God part. Amen. I think 2 years ago, my daughter from California sent her first fruit. She got a job and they sent the first salary. Complete. It's called first fruit. So when you don't honor God with your tithe or your first fruit, you want God to be involved in your life. He's not the one. Now let's see. Noah, say Noah. Gave God tithe when he left the ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Noah tithe. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. What did he do? And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering unto the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite the anymore everything, everything living as I've done. So he took the right portion. He took all the living, the right portion of the living, and placed at the altar. Where did he learn it? From Adam and Cain, and it was a generational issue. They knew that this was God's demand from the beginning. So Abraham was not the first person to give God tithes. Yeah. He was the first person to record that with the name tithes. It was a practice in the lineage. A practice in the godly lineage that Abraham knew that this was a custom in the godly lineage. He just did what he knew was right. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham, the Most High, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed, and blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him what? Tithes of all. That was not the beginning of tithes. But it was recorded in that way, but it was something that was already been done in the lineage of the godly lineage from Adam. Okay? Number six, please. So if you are a tight eater, you're just behaving like Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve were pushed out because they were not faithful. Cain was not faithful. God even rebuked Cain. Cain, if you do well, are you following me myself? If you do well, I will accept your offering. I will accept your tithe. Why should you be behaving like the next Sapphira? You ate part of your tithe. Are they bringing, coming to dance with tithe? And God said, "Ananias, you are a liar. I see what you are behaving. You honor God with your tithe and believe God." Number six, sign of dead believers. Are you following me? They drink alcohol secretly. Dead Dickens. Say dead Dickens. Drink alcohol secretly. Yeah, dead deacons drink what? Alcohol secretly. Dead elders, dead believers, dead pastors, dead bishops. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Every 10 minutes. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Are you there? I want to read together, please. Everybody, please. Lincolners, Lydia, and get a Bible, please. I see you are in the spirit. Get a Bible. Get the spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Are you there? Everybody, please. Everybody, let's go faster, please. I want to read. Are you there? One more. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from the mother's womb. You cannot put the two together. You cannot put alcohol and the Holy Ghost. You cannot. You can pray all your life, "Holy Ghost, come." The two doesn't go together. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Can you put that on the screen, please? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. That's Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. What's happening behind you guys? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Is that on the screen? Amen. You cannot be drinking alcohol and speaking in tongues. You are drunk. You need the Holy Spirit. So dead believers, dead Christians compromise in occasions that drink alcohol. Let me get a testimony. Let me see. I think before my wedding, that's about my first trouble. My wife's family came to sign the court marriage. And I left from court. Thank God they came first. I went to court, I signed it, coming to my house. Came to visit me with their protocol, you know. I knew them, they were all believers. I went and bought mixed drinks from Fanta, Water Guinness, Coca-Cola, mixed. You know what? They said, I've insulted them. They left the drink and went. So you could have asked our choice. I know their choice. I cannot give them alcohol. I say, I'm sorry, in my house, no one drinks alcohol. And they left. And they left. Shame on believers who give people cigarettes. You buy drugs for your customers. You buy alcohol for your customers. Shame on you. You please people by giving them alcohol and cigarette and weed. Why? And wine. Because you don't have a will. You don't know who you are. Say, child of God.
Child of God.
Stay away. From strong drink, all the whiskeys and alcohol. And tell your friends, yeah, we don't drink alcohol. Mr. Sammy, can you imagine somebody enter your house with cigarette? Will I allow it?
No.
Can you allow your friend enter your house smoking?
No.
So, not in my house. Put it out. Stop it. Yeah. Hey, Pastor Martin, can you imagine somebody enter your house, your living room, and smoking? No way.
I'll turn them out.
No way. You need to tell them the limit. You can smoke outside when the penis is coming. Don't defile your life. Amen. Judges 13 verse 7. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb to the day of his death. This is serious. In the Old and New Testament, there is no place for us to be drinking strong drink. The sign of a dead Christian. How do you know a dead Christian? They avoid fasting. Joseph, Monday fasting, they will be eating for money from heaven. They don't care. Yes. Every Monday we fast in World Mission. Every Monday they are eating four meals. They avoid fasting. God forbid. Say, arise, say, arise, O Lord.
Arise, O Lord.
I arrest every dead believer in World Mission. Because you are a hindrance to the glory. You don't repent, God will replace you. You don't repent, God will replace you. You cannot stand and block the revival. No way. Matthew 17, 19 to 21. Then came the disciples unto Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Say prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting.
Say prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting.
It's important. There must be personal prayer and fasting. And congregational prayer and fasting. Say personal prayer and fasting.
Personal prayer and fasting.
Family prayer and fasting.
Family prayer and fasting.
Congregational prayer and fasting.
Congregational prayer and fasting.
So you announce the family this every day, your house is fasting. The house is not that fasting that day. You keep your house once a day and once a week, this is the day of fasting. Or once a month. You cannot be a man in the house. You don't care about fasting. You don't care about prayer. And you just be busy with Netflix and videos and work, and you are dead. You are dead. You are not the head of that family. If you cannot take your place and lead in prayer, you are dead. You must become a priest in your house. And lead your house before God in prayer. Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now they were in a church that was at World Mission, the National Worship Center. The church that was at Antioch, okay, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucien of Cyrene, that was a black man, okay, and Mania, which was another black man, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord, yes, Lord. Say, minister to the Lord. Can you see them praying on fire? As a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, say, pray me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent, sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. They were fasting. So write this down. Every Monday we are fasting until the end of the year. It's time you need to know that the battle is not with just flesh and blood. You must stand by faith. Amen. You must stand by faith. Now, can you have a picture of the world, please, on the scriptures down there? Amen. Before you pray, put those pictures there. Amen. We have to create impact in our generation. Say, create impact. That is World Mission International Medical Center, Yaoundé. And in 3 years, this should be completed. Okay. It's it's $1 million project. We'll finish in 3 years. Yeah. We gotta read the land title for the land. And the architect is working on the geology to test the soil, and by next week they will begin to get the building permit in Yaoundé. By October I'll be in Cameroon to lay the foundation, and in 3 years we're going to finish that building without debt, without a loan, without credit card.
Amen.
But not without you. Well, if you don't want to be part of it, it's a choice, but it will be finished without debt. We don't borrow from bank to bill. We don't beg on people. We will finish it. Me and my son and daughters around the world will build that building without debt. Amen. So you better be on board. Amen. And after that, I got a 10-year program. This will take 3 years. After that, I go to build our Wemishon Secondary School in Mutengene. We have 10 plus already. But next month, we start working on the plan for the secondary school. Get an international conference center, and then go get a college, secondary school from one to high school in Mutengene. And so in the next 10 years, these two projects will be finished. Amen. Before I reach 65, all these two projects will be finished. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Shout hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Now, can we stand up, please? I want to pray this morning. The greatest enemy to a generation is not a sinner on the street. It's a dead believer. The trees that keep people are not trees that are dry like that. You see a tree that have leaves. The other is what? Rotten. It's dangerous. So dead believers are the greatest hindrance to our world. Yeah. Hey, Pastor Patrick, imagine wedding somebody think that is born again. After wedding. Father. That was good. That is terrible. Dead believers are the greatest hindrance to our world. Because they look like, but they are not. Look like they love God. Look like they are spirit filled. Look like there's something is missing. We are praying today for deliverance. Breaking the yoke today. There must be fire in the altar 24/7. Say fire in your altar. Say fire in your altar. See fire then also. The altar in the altar, there must be fire at the altar 24/7. When the fire goes off, know that Israel is in confusion. I don't know what you are still alive in your life. Today, we must. I want everybody, please, everybody, say, everybody, come outside, let's pray. We're praying for 5 minutes and then we take our people to us. Next Sunday, we have communion. The first is what day?
Saturday.
No, Saturday. Okay, so Saturday, we have communion here. Let's, everybody, please come outside, let's pray. Holy Ghost, do it again. Do it again. Everybody, please come aside. Open my eyes to see Jesus.
Seated upon the throne.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. Do it again.
This is serious. Something is changing today. Heaven is so real. Jesus had, look at me. Jesus had 12 people. 12 that changed the world. 12. Amen. Miss Sandra, you can change a lot of people. You know that is all. You can influence thousands. I see young girls on Facebook that influence, they have influence. How long will you be silent and give your life and insignificant? Who are you influencing for Christ? Why should you be popular in school, popular in your job site, or popular in God's kingdom? Why should you stay behind all your life? It's time you step up. It's time you say, Lord, no, the devil will push me behind. The world is waiting on you. Amen. Why should I be giving excuses for spiritual things? Excuses for spiritual things. I want to reach different things. You don't have, you know. Why should I give excuse? God is saying, I saved you for such a time like this. I save you for such a time like this. Lord, use me. So let's sing this song one more time with all of our hearts. I pray. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life.
Something new.
Song one more time. Sing it like a prayer. Sing it like a prayer. Amen.
Something new.
Sing it like a prayer.
In my life.
Something new.
In my life.
Oh, Lord. Do something.
to pray, to pray aloud, pray aloud, pray aloud.
Right now,
Those who are sick in this place, we speak healing. We speak healing. Dry bones live again. Every weakness, every pain, every depression, we cast it out. Let it be revival. Let it be revival. Let them be revival. Say, oh Lord, I'm available for you. Just cry, oh Lord, I'm available for you. Oh Lord, I'm available for you. Oh Lord, use me for your glory. Oh Lord, I'm available for you.
Father, thank you.
Just be silent. So tomorrow you need to repent. Because you are not bent by chance. Something you did.
Holy Spirit.
Something you did that quenched your spirit. And you are trying to revive is not happening. Something you did. Something you did that blocked your life. It's loyalty that breaks the relationship. So you are just coming to church where your spirit is not there. Either you are forcing yourself to pray. You force yourself to be a man. You force yourself to speak in tongues. It's not flowing. And you know it deep within you. So talk to God today. Yeah, you need to settle it with God. Just raise up first, keep praying. Whatever it is, settle it with God. I'm counting you, God is counting on you. Just talk to God. You know when you stop paying your tithe, talk to God. You know when you stop being serious. You know when your life coming began, whatever it is. Talk to God. Lord, I'm repenting today. I'm repenting today, Lord. I'm repenting today. Just talk to God. This is a 10-year round meeting.
Oh God, we come before you, God, with a repentant heart, Jesus. Your word says that broken and a contrite spirit, you will not disappoint. And Lord, we come here broken today. With a crooked and contrite heart, oh God. We ask for your mercy, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
God, we come back.
Thank you, Jesus.
We retrace our step back.
Thank you,
oh God, from where we started from, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have much departed from you, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we are coming back again. We ask for your mercy.
Yes,
we ask for your forgiveness.
Yes,
we ask for your mercy.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
let mercy,
yes,
oh God, prevail over judgment.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
We receive your mercy today.
Yes, Lord.
Restore us back to the
yes,
place of sonship,
yes,
oh God.
God,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Thank you, my Father.
It is done. In Jesus' name. Have your seat, please. Thank you, but don't sign up, please. Now, all of you watching around the world, you are blessed. I'm so glad to be able to speak this word as the Lord gave it to me. Keep focus on me, please. Come on, focus on me. Gradually, amen. Before we end our service, it's a blessing to pray for all of you watching me around the world. You also need to receive this revival. You need this fire in your bone. You need this faithfulness. Just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I receive you, Holy Spirit. From this day, I commit myself to you anew. In Jesus' name.